Cambridge Breakfast with Neil Whiteside on a Wednesday morning. And as you know, because I've been banging on about it for weeks, the annual Bridge the Gap walk starts in just 9 days' time. You can start doing the walk from Friday the 13th, don't let it worry you, and right the way through to the 10th of September. I'm joined on the line by Angeline Lyons. She's the events officer at the Arthur Rank Hospice Charity, which is one of the two charities that benefits from Bridge the Gap. Angeline, good morning.
Morning, Neil. Great to be with you.
Yeah, lovely to see you again. Lovely to catch up. For those who've not heard of you, not heard you on the interviews and things in the past, what's your role within Arthur Rank and how long have you been involved in Bridge the Gap?
Yeah, thanks. I am the events officer, like you said, in the fundraising team at Arthur Rank Hospice Charity. So I, along with a few others, particularly look after our mass participation events. So in slightly more normal times, those kinds of events are we'd have hundreds or thousands of people attending in order to raise funds for the charity in fun ways.
Yeah, and you do try and mix it up, don't you? Because you've got like the Starshine Walk and various things that appeal to different age groups with sort of different things they'd like to do in mind. I mean, the idea of walking around dressed as a bunny rabbit at 3 a.m. clearly appeals to some people, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we like to change things up. And over this past year, it's definitely been a good opportunity to be especially creative with how we do things. And and it's been brilliant to see the community continue to engage with our events and even new people join us for them too.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I've been around on Bridge the Gap for a few years now, and there are some people going, oh yes, you know, we've done all 17, we've done all, every year they're back for their sticker. And then there's others, as you say, you come up with a different way of doing something and that appeals to people in a different way, doesn't it? Calls different people in.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm aware that lots of your listeners will know much more about Bridge the Gap than I actually do, because I joined the charity in November 2019, so I wasn't there for the last in-person Bridge the Gap. So looking forward to it hopefully returning next year. We were just chatting about that, weren't we?
And, yeah, hope so.
Yeah.
So you've not done one. You've only been involved in the virtual events,
yeah,
which have worked quite well. Last year's worked really well, didn't it?
It did, yeah. It was brilliant, really. I think because at the stage where we're all making plans, obviously you're on the organising committee along with us and those from Rumsey Mill and several others. And at the point where we're making plans back in January, we have to sort of envisage lots of different kinds of scenarios, don't we? And so it seemed to work really well last year. We kept it so open as to what might happen in terms of the broader context of restrictions and that kind of thing. And just being able to have participants complete the walk at their own convenience seemed to not only work because it meant we didn't have to cancel an event, but it also worked really well for lots of our participants too, who maybe if they weren't free on that one particular day when we held the event, then they could do it whenever they chose to.
Yeah, and maybe do it even in chunks, which also works for some people as well, doesn't it? Because you know what children can be like at times, or the elderly, it can just be a little bit too much, you know, even though, because it's quite a decent old walk, isn't it? You're not, you know, it's not just a couple hundred yards. It's a decent walk around Cambridge when you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, it's always been for the Arthur Rank Hospice Charity. You've been one of the beneficiary charities since the start. I always just get blown away, and not in a good way, by the numbers for you guys, because it is just every year the amount of money you have to raise. I honestly don't know how you do it. So just to put people off their breakfast, just talk us through the numbers as far as you're concerned.
So this year our services will cost £10.5 million to operate, and all of those are provided free of charge to the local people that we support when they need us. So yeah, 10.5 million overall. We've currently secured 6.9 million from the NHS, which is brilliant. But that obviously leaves £3.6 million to raise. And honestly, you ask how we do it, and it's not us by ourselves at all. It's the dedication and commitment and generosity of your listeners and the rest of the Cambridgeshire community that help us to raise that. It's through them taking part in our fundraising events and through just shopping at our 5 charity shops, or coming to eat at the bistro here, or using our venue hire here at the hospice. in all those different ways.
And it is an amazing, it's an amazing venue, and you are held in great, with great fondness, I think, high regard and fondness by the Cambridge and Cambridgeshire community. But just remind people what those services are, because we know of you as the hospice, but you do more than that, don't you?
We do, yeah, we do so much more than that, but I'll attempt to give an overview, but I'm bound to miss something out because there's
you'll be in
so
trouble
many
later.
Varied services. Yes, exactly. So we've got the hospice building here in Cambridge, but we've also got the Alan Hudson Day Treatment Centre up in Wisbeach. Obviously, with the county stretching so far and wide, it's important to serve that area of the community too. So here at the hospice, we've got the inpatient wards, we've got various services here, lymphedema, complementary therapies, our patient and family support team who offer counselling, psychological support, they're based here as well. But then we've also got our community team of specialist nurses and our hospice at home team who go and support people in their homes, whether that's to live well with the symptoms they have from their life-limiting conditions, or whether it's to do that important end-of-life care too. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure I've missed something out. There's so many services.
I know, but when you think about it, what you're doing is that the toughest times in families, because it's not just the person concerned, it's all the people around them as well. And you just do it so well. There's just, you know, it's just, I know people who've had direct contact and direct experience of the way you guys work, and you just do it so well. You can't, if you're not here, well, what are we going to do? So we need that 3.6 million, don't we?
And we do, yeah.
You've faced such a challenge, I must guess, with all the fundraising this year. So, you know, it's a fantastic opportunity to do this. As you say, you've got plenty of time to do the walk. And it's not expensive, is it, to do the walk?
No, it's £8 per person. Under 16s can go free. And really simple to sign up. Just head to our website or even just search Bridge the Gap in whichever search engine you use. And you'll find your way to the registration, or just give us a call and we can put the registration through over the phone, and people can ask for a printed walk pack where they'll get the route with lots of information about different things to see in the route as well, and an activity and a map, or everyone who registers will get a digital version of that too, if it's easier just to follow on a phone or something like that.
Fantastic. Now, are you planning to do the Bridge the Gap walk this year, so you know what it is you're talking about?
I have actually, yes. So I've been involved in creating the route. So that was a lot of fun, actually, walking around the city. It's one of my favourite activities that I get to do in my job, is to walk around the city and think about what might be interesting things to go and see, which lanes to go down. I always discover something new. I've lived in Cambridge for over 10 years, but I still there's always so much to discover.
Oh, ditto. I'd never been down Half Moon Lane till last year's walk. And the story of the pub and Stephen Hawking living next door and all this. It's like, hang on, I never knew this was even a place.
It's brilliant, isn't it? I think the changing seasons, and obviously the university is so central to kind of the shape of the city, and that's always changing and developing too.
Well, it's underway in just 9 days' time, Friday the 13th of August through to the 10th of September. It's going to be great, and it's going to raise money for one of our, well, for two of our favourite charities, Romsey Mill and Arthur Rank Hospice Charity. Anthony, it's always lovely to catch up with you. Good luck with it, and thanks for coming on this morning.
Thanks for having me.